the Kemp Chet Show. Oh, I fucking love these geezers.
Come on and shine, shine like a star. Shining so bright, like the star that you are. Oh, shine into the future, spreading your light wherever you are.
Well, hello and welcome to Cab Chat. We asked the question whether you wanted us to do the old style radio show once a month, and we got quite a lot of feedback about it.
Hi, JB. Format of the show. Yes, it would be nice to return to the original once a month, as you suggested, but it is the changing format of the show that, in my opinion, always keeps the show nice and fresh. Good to hear SPD the other day, and perhaps one day, James, the gentleman cabby. Overall, okay. Great work as always. Take care, Chris.
So here it is, the 2 hour Cab Chat extravaganza, once a month only, just for your listening pleasure. We've got all the usual features. We've got Dan from Plan, Drum Slayer, Mark Collins with his Soul Track of the Week, plus a lot more coming up after this.
You've found Cab Chat, the show for London's taxi drivers. Cab Chat. It's the Cab Chat Show with Super Cabby. He's a right cool blimey geezer.
Fleetwood Mac, written by Stevie Nicks in 1976 and released in 1977, June 1977 in the UK. It was the third single off of their Rumours album.
People have listened to our show, and now thanks to our podcast, even more will know. Super Cab is our savior. His talent is a gift. His ego is downloadable, but you need extra bandwidth.
We apologize for the late running of the 1824 service. This will now depart at 1918 due to driver shortage.
Taxi! Taxi!
For those times when taxis aren't readily available, it's nice to know that technology and software is here to make our lives run more smoothly. Taxi App UK does just that. Download the app to your smartphone from Google Play or the App Store, or log on to taxiapp.uk.com. And next time you need a taxi, just click the Taxi App UK icon. Book and pay with several payment options available, including cash, credit card, and through the app. Taxi App UK is free to download and use, and available across the whole of London. Founded, funded, and owned by London's black cab drivers. Taxi App UK, powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
So Transport for London have decided to reduce the speed limit on 37 roads in the congestion charge area and some slightly outside of it down to 20 mile per hour. Now during the daytime this probably isn't gonna have much of an effect because apparently the average traffic speeds in central London are just 7.8 miles per hour. Now, the report that Transport for London very quietly published stating that traffic speeds had reduced, or the average traffic speeds had reduced to 7.8 mile an hour, was back in 2016. So the average speed has probably reduced even further since then. But obviously, the other night when traffic is lighter, this is going to affect taxi drivers going about their daily business and trying to get passengers and customers around the city as quickly and as efficiently as possible. I'd really like to know what your thoughts are on this reduction in speed limit on many of the roads. I mean, these include Victoria Embankment, Millbank, loads of roads within the congestion charge zone and in the city of London. Let us know your thoughts. We're going to go over to our Dan from Plan, recap Dan from Plan for his contribution this week. So over to you, Dan.
And now it's recap Dan from Plan. He's the man.
Thanks for that, Jamie. Hi, everyone. It's Dan at Plan. Hope you're all well and looking after yourselves. So today, I'm not sure whether or not I've talked about this before. I might not have, but I don't think I talked about this particular bit. But you know me, recap Dan. Always like to recap stuff. And it was brought on by a phone call I had earlier today. You know who you are if you're listening. Unfortunately, this person had an accident today. All right, it wasn't their fault. They were apparently stationary and the other person has driven into them. All right, and there was nothing they could do about it. So they exchange details at the scene. What I must say is, when you exchange details, even if you think it is your fault, all right, never say it is your fault, right? Because once you've admitted liability and it's recorded somewhere that you've admitted liability, it's quite hard to then get out of it. And you never know. I know this doesn't sound good to some people, especially if you're on the receiving end of it, but the people on the other side of it, it works out your benefit. Your insurance company can sometimes put some of the blame on the other person. All right, so even if you think you're bang to rights, your insurance company can sometimes come to negotiation with the other insurance company to save you some money if they feel they can go 50-50, etc. I guess that's a moral decision on your behalf, whether or not you want that to happen, but because you might decide, you know what, it was my fault, I don't care if my insurance company think they can defend me somehow. I want to take the blame for it. I want to take responsibility. So, but if you if your moral compass swings slightly off centre and you want to let your insurance company do what they can for you to try and save you money in the future, then never admit liability, just exchange information and move on. All right. So anyway, so these two exchange information. They go home, and my friend, they then phone their insurance number, claims number. Now, this is what I want to talk about. So, because there's quite a lot of people involved when it comes to insurance claim. Now, I'm not going to use real names here. I'm going to make some up. So, let's say that their insurance broker is called Judo Insurance. I'm looking around my desk. And don't worry, there's something on my desk about Judo. So, their insurance company is called Judo. Insurance broker is called Judo. So, that's the equivalent of Plan, Quotax, Sutherland's, whoever they may be insured with, but in this weird and wonderful world, they're called Judo, right? Now, the actual insurance company they're with is called Pearl. All right, I'm going to make that name again. That's obviously not this insurance company's name, Pearl Insurance. So this person then sees the number on the Judo paperwork because they got it from their broker, and someone answers the phone as Judo claims, how can I help you? Now, this person who answers the phone neither works for Judo, and neither works for Pearl, the insurance company. They'll be what's known as an accident management company, okay? Or sometimes we call it an FNL service. That stands for First Notification of Loss Service. So what these companies do is they'll answer the phone and they'll decide whether or not if they think your claim is defendable or not, okay? Because what they think is your claim is definitely non-fault, they'll then offer you an all-singing, all-dancing service. So they'll say to you, listen, we'll deal with the claim for you on your behalf. You haven't got to worry about dealing with your insurance company, Pearl. We'll come along, pick your cab up. We'll take it off to get repaired. While your cab's being repaired, we'll go get you another taxi, deliver it to you. You can then use that taxi while you're working. Not only that, if you've got any out-of-pocket expenses like lost earnings, any injuries, all that type of stuff, we'll sort it all out for you, all right? Now, the reason they do all this is it's not out of goodness of their own heart. It's because they make money off it. All right, so when they give you that taxi to use, they'll charge the other people's insurance company an inflated price. So I would say it costs 100 quid a week to rent a taxi. I know that's wrong, but I'm just making up numbers here. But say it costs 100 quid a week to rent a taxi. They'll charge the other people's insurance company 200 quid to it. For you to drive that taxi around, all right? Every doctor's appointment you go to, there'll be a charge on that. Every letter they send, there'll be a charge on that. Now, rightly or wrongly, everyone's got different thoughts and feelings on accident management companies. I see it from both sides of the coin. I see it that they offer an extra valid service. So generally their claim service is better than you'd find at your actual insurance company, say in this case, Pearl Insurance, because they're used to dealing with claims day in, day out, and they're used to trying to get them done, turned around quickly and looking out for you, looking out for your best interest. So from a customer's point of view, they want to keep you on board because they want you to come back time and time again if you have any more accidents, because they make money out of you. All right. So this person has spoken to M2M, we're calling them, who was acting on behalf of Judo, and they've been told they're going to get all this wonderful service, right? So they've gone, oh, that sounds brilliant. How long will it take to get a cab to collected? What type of stuff? So M2N have said, right, let me go away, find out when your cab could be collected, find out when we can get you a taxi, blah, 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 all that type of stuff. And we'll phone you back. So they hang up the phone. Whilst they're waiting for M2M to phone them, the other people's insurance company now phone them. Okay, let's call this other insurance company Stapler. All right. So Stapler Insurance phone. This person up and say, listen, we understand you've had an accident and our customer was at fault. We want to try and put everything right for you. If it's okay with you, we'll send someone out to come and pick your car up. We'll send it off to one of our authorised repair centres. We'll get it all repaired for you. You won't have to pay any of your policy excess. You won't have to deal with your insurance company. And not only that, we'll give you another car to drive around in whilst we've got your car. All right, so this person now thinks, well, Judo or M2M have just offered me this service, and now Stapler are offering me this service. What do I do? Which ones do I pick? Who do I work with? So they got a bit confused and said, listen, let me phone you back. All right, so they are at the phone, and then they phoned me and then explained what's happened, and this is what I told them. So I explained to them that M2M, the reasons why they want to offer you all this is because they're going to earn money out of you. Now, the reason Stapler Insurance have got in touch is because they want to save themselves money, because they know that if they go and use M2M, they're going to get a bill for, or an inflated bill for hire car charges, medical charges, injuries, medicine, out-of-pocket expenses, all that type of stuff. Whereas if Stapler Insurance deal with the whole claim, they'll keep the cost lower. So they'll send it to their own garage, which they've got probably beneficial or more appealing prices for. They'll send it to their own body shop where they can get their own repairs done there. They'll send it to their own taxi or vehicle rental company, and they'll get a better rental car price, all that type of stuff. So they said to me, what should I do? Who should I pick? Now, it's an awkward one. It's difficult because it's up to you. It's your decision. And I don't want to sway anyone either way. They've both got their pros and cons. All right. If you use M2M or the Judo claims number, that would be the slight, if I was to say one way or the other, I'd say probably go with that service. All right. All brokers have got one. I'm not going to name one. Everyone's probably had good and bad experiences of them all. But the reason I'm saying use them is because they'll probably be more geared up with dealing with a taxi vehicle, all right? Because they deal with these taxi claims day in, day out, and they'll have garages that are used to repairing taxis, and they'll probably have a fleet of taxis that they can use or rely on to get you a replacement taxi. Whereas Stapler Insurance, they could be one of these massive insurance companies, so like Admiral or Direct Line or Churchill, one of these big ones, who don't insure taxis. So if they come along and pick your taxi up, the repair centre they take it to, A, might not be geared up for repairing taxis, and they might not know how to use repair a taxi, and B, their courtesy car fleet probably doesn't include taxis, so they have to go and get one from someone else, which can probably delay it getting to you, so it means you're out of your taxi for longer periods of time. So if I had to swing one way or the other, I'd probably say rely more on the broker accident claims line. Or the other option is you can deal with the whole claim yourself and go and speak to Pearl Insurance and get them to look after it for you. Depends on who you feel more comfortable with. So hopefully that explains why these different people get involved and why all these people seem like they really want to help you out. It is because they want to help you out, but at the end of the day, one wants to try and save money and the other one wants to try and make money from you. I mean, obviously that money doesn't come directly out of your pocket, but that's why they're here. So hopefully that helps explain things. So moving on, my fact or fiction. So I've got one for you. You need to decide whether or not it's fact or fiction. So you can buy a policy from Lloyd's of London which covers death by mating. So you can buy an insurance policy from Lloyd's of London which covers death by mating. True or false? I'll leave that up to you, and I'll hand you back to Jamie in the studio, and I'll come back to you soon and let you know whether that was true or false. All the best.
Radio show for cabbies everywhere.
That was AC/DC and Highway to Hell, and that was requested by one of the Cab Chat team members, and they said we should dedicate it especially for Transport for London due to the chaos they've caused on London streets.
Extra listeners, cause we think we are great. So if you like our station, then please go tell a mate. If you can get some other pal to tune into our show, we promise we will have a day with ginger nuts and cocoa.
Oh, I do love ginger nuts.
Hello, this is Mark. Now, I normally do all the voiceovers for this shower of shit, and as a way of payment, get this. I should be privileged to come along here and play my favourite soul tracks each show. It's a fucking liberty. Anyway, in the interest of promoting good soul music, here's one I prepared earlier.
Grooving on a New York afternoon. We're grooving on a New York afternoon. On a Sunday. Went to the city hoping this would be the one day. Afternoon, took the subway, went to the village, Chinatown, walked down Broadway, on a day in June, strolling through the park, what a lovely, lovely feeling, then looked at you and my heart began to reeling, this is our day, here in Manhattan, everyone's part of our play, New York afternoon. Square, heard some jazz on the Lower East Side. We'll remember when skies are gray and snow was falling in December. It was a New York afternoon.
Thank you. You've found Cab Chat, the show for London's taxi drivers.
The Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
Now, one thing that really, really does affect me when driving, especially at night, well, really at night, is LED headlights. I'm not sure if it has the same effect on you, but they are so bright, they blind you. Absolutely ridiculous. Whoever came up with the idea of LED headlights should be shot, in my honest opinion. I mean, they are just so bright. I mean, the whole idea of incandescent bulbs was that they were not that bright and they didn't glare and blind people as you went towards them. I mean, when you've got a car coming towards you with LED headlights on, they're blinding. They just really affect your vision as you're driving towards them, especially along a dark country lane or any dark road. They're absolutely ridiculous. And the other problem is when you've got these foreign trucks that come over here without any diffusers on their headlights, they're even worse because obviously their headlights are pointing directly at oncoming traffic. And something really needs to be done about these. I think LED headlights, even though LED bulbs last a lot longer, LED headlight bulbs should be banned in my view. They're absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they are just so bright, and I know I keep going on about it, but it really, really does affect. It really does affect me. I don't know if it affects you, but it really, really does affect me. And I don't know any way around it, to be honest with you, because all modern cars seem to be being fitted with these type of LED or xenon gas-filled headlight bulbs, which are equally as bright and equally as blinding. I've seen cab drivers that are wearing these night vision glasses, you know, these yellow tinted glasses to reduce the effect of LED and xenon headlight bulbs because they are so bright. And when you live somewhere like I do now, where, you know, right out in the middle of nowhere, and you have to travel down country lanes, it really, really is affecting when they drive towards you. And something really needs to be done about it. Let me know if they affect you as well. Do they affect you the same way as they affect me? Really, really bright headlight bulbs. It's even worse when someone's coming towards you with their main beam on, I've got to be honest. Anyway, we're going to play another track. This one was requested by Rob Cardwell, and I think he wants to dedicate it to his lovely girlfriend.
I don't know why I cry so hard. London, we broadcast everywhere. We love you wherever you are. We really do not care. Driving down the Kingsway or sitting on the stand. You think we have it sorted, but we have nothing planned.
The Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
So the other night I went to the theatre. Yep, the theatre. Went to see Ghost Stories. Now, a friend of ours asked us whether we wanted to go and see Ghost Stories, and I'd seen quite a few reviews of the show, and they all seemed to be really good, saying it was a really good show and really scary, and yeah, we went. And we went for a meal beforehand, and our friend had booked the wrong restaurant, but it turned out to be a really nice restaurant, actually, and it was really nice. The food was great, and then we went to the theatre, and on entering the theatre, there was screens outside. This was in Canterbury, the Marlow Theatre, and the screens outside said that the performance was 1 hour 20 minutes long, and if you needed to leave the auditorium at any time, you would not be allowed re-entry into the auditorium, which was a bit strange if you wanted to go to the toilet or something like that. But nevertheless, it wasn't really that worrying. So we went in and sat down and prepared to be scared. And the first actor came on stage and we couldn't really hear him, to be honest. He needed a microphone and he didn't have one. And it was a little bit quiet. And with people talking sometimes, which does happen in the theatre, I know people shouldn't, but they do, you couldn't really hear what he was saying, and it was a little bit off-putting, to say the least. And then the show continued, and it basically goes around the three basic ghost stories with a little twist at the end. And there's only really five actors in the whole show, and it's the whole show's designed that it's supposed to scare you, and I've got to be honest, the first ghost story started and it wasn't really that scary at all, to be honest with you. It was more comical than it was scary. And then, I sat there thinking, maybe it's going to get better. And the second ghost story started and much the same again. It wasn't really scary. It was really sort of funny in certain parts. And by the time the end of the second ghost story was coming to a conclusion, I was finding myself nodding off to sleep because it wasn't capturing my imagination whatsoever. And then the third one started, and that was just as comedic as the first two, rather than being scary at all. Wasn't scary one little bit. And I can only wonder what the people that wrote the reviews that I saw were, whether they were seeing the same show that I was seeing. Because I've got to be honest, it was a total waste of money. Let's put it like this, there's certain shows that I would go and see again, but I would definitely not go and see this Ghost Stories show again. It was a total waste of money, £30 a ticket, down the drain. It was just absolute rubbish. It was more like something that a school would put on as a show, rather than a main theatre that's charging £30 per ticket to go and see this utter load of claptrap. Absolute rubbish. In actual fact, I go to say, far to say, it was the worst show that I've ever seen at the theatre in my whole life. Absolute crap. Now, in contrast to that, last year in July, we went to see Only Fools and Horses at the Haymarket. And I've got to say, what an absolutely fantastic show. I found it quite amusing that during the interval, a lot of Americans that had bought tickets, they'd obviously gone and got cheap tickets for the show, you know, like you can if you book last minute, and they've got tickets to go and see Only Fools and Horses. And they were leaving because obviously, unless you've seen the TV show, then it wouldn't really make much sense to you. And the humour, the Only Fools and Horses humour, probably doesn't work well on American visitors to a certain extent. But what an absolutely fantastic show. I mean, if you get a chance to go and see it, go and see it. Paul Whitehouse was absolutely brilliant as Granddad and as Uncle Albert. He played both parts. The young fella that played Rodney was fantastic. Got him off to a tee. Also, Marlene, great. Absolutely fantastic. Most of the actors were absolutely great. The fella that played Del Boy was good. Wasn't as good as some of the others. But it was a show that's well worth going and seeing. So if you do get a chance to go and see that, I would suggest, yeah, take the opportunity and go and see it. Especially if you're an Only Fools and Horses fan. Well worth going and seeing. Here's a track that Ricky asked us to play in today's show. It's one by Joe Walsh and Two Sides to Every Story.
The Cab Chat Radio Show, coming to you from a secret location.
The Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
Thanks for that, Jamie. Welcome back, everyone. It's Dan at Plan. So before I handed you back to Jamie in the studio, I asked you whether or not you could buy a death by mating policy. The answer is true. So some of you may or may not know, but I've been doing a lot of research recently on some weird and wonderful insurances that come out of the Lloyd's of London building in London. And one of them I come across was a Chicago zoo called Brookfield Zoo. They acquired a female panda back in 1939 called Mimi, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but Mei. Then a year later, they acquired a partner for Mimi called Milan, so 1940. As they were cubs at the time, they were kept separate. But the zoo obviously had insurance for the zoo and also the lives of the pandas. And the reason they had life insurance for pandas was because if one of the pandas died, obviously back then a panda in your zoo was quite an attraction. So it'd cover, the zoo would be able to cover their loss of earnings should their expected visitor numbers fall because they no longer had giant pandas on their site. However, in 1941, they decided to put the two pandas together because they were now old enough. But as part of the life section for the pandas on the insurance policy, it excluded death by mating. So if the pandas mated and one of them was to die, it excluded it. So the zoo keepers decided that, decided that they should get mating coverage for the pandas. Because you've got to remember, back in 1940, or 41 even, when they were put together, there wasn't much studies done of mating pandas, and they was concerned about what would happen because there was rumours, or there was led to believe, that if they mated at the wrong time, then the female panda could lash out, and because they've got really strong jaws, I know this is quite boring, some of you might find it interesting, I found it interesting anyway, because they've got quite strong jaws and claws, the male panda could die as a result of he's trying to mate the female panda. So they purchased this death by mating extension or coverage on their policy. It's quite a sad story, really. The research I've done, it looked like that the zookeepers decided to keep the pandas apart until they were old enough. And apparently, during the year that it was kept apart, they was in separate cages, and they become very fond of each other, and they used to sleep with their noses touching through the fences of their cages, so it was quite nice. However, when they were put together, sadly, Milan was a bit of a disappointment, and Lloyd's of London never had to pay out because Milan never did the deed, apparently. He never followed through. He was shy, so the reports say, and he never made any advances towards Mimi, which is a shame. And unfortunately, they never had any cubs, and they just stayed friends in their cages. So hopefully that is an interesting story. I found it interesting anyway. But anyway, moving on. Okay, so before I hand you back to Jamie in the studio, don't forget, as always, if you do phone Plan Insurance, make sure you say you heard us on Cab Chat, because you get a discount. Secondly, we don't just do taxi insurance. If you've got any businesses that you need insured, or friends or family have got any businesses insured, we do business insurance. Thirdly, we don't just do taxi insurance and business insurance. We do lots of weird and wonderful insurances, such as mating insurance for pandas, if you've got any pandas knocking around. So keep it in mind. Make sure you mention Cab Chat when you phone, because you get a discount, as I say. Who doesn't like a discount? So I'll hand you back to Jamie and the rest of the gang, if he's with anyone there, and I'll catch up with you guys soon. All the best.
That was Dan with his answer to his true or false question that he posed earlier on in the show. I've been sent some interesting information about taxi charging, you know, taxi, not charging for taxis, but electric taxi charging at Heathrow Airport and the costings. And a couple of drivers out there are working to sort of reduce the cost associated with charging your electric taxi at Heathrow Airport. And basically, they've broken it down into a cost per mile. And the cost per kilowatt mile when charging at Heathrow at 39.27 pence per kilowatt equates to 17.9 pence per mile. And the cost per mile when using the range extender petrol generator, and this is based on £1.27 pence per litre of petrol, equates to 16.44 pence per mile. So Heathrow Airport Limited believe that they are competitively priced with their charging, but they will become the most expensive electric vehicle chargers in the country. And really, there's no incentive for drivers to charge their vehicles at the taxi feeder park, as there are no cost savings to be made when using electricity over petrol. And considering that the price of petrol has fallen recently, there will be an even greater difference in favour of using petrol than there would be in using electricity, which makes a mockery of the whole point of having an electric vehicle in the first place. Let me know your thoughts on that. I'd really like to know what you think about that situation at Heathrow Airport. We're going to go over to our Drum Slayer, his contribution this week. So over to you, Mr. Drum Slayer.
And now, here's Drum Slayer.
Thanks, Jamie. Greetings, one and all. I speak to you, Drum Slayer, this is, towards the end of February, and I have to say, the kipper season has not been bad at all so far. Little bit patchy in places, but I've experienced far worse. On Sunday, January the 19th, I was photographed by the police doing 25 mile per hour in a 20 mile zone. This was Green Lanes North 4. I received a letter of intended prosecution telling me of my dastardly deed and the punishment that could follow. But they wanted to know who I was. They wanted details. Was I the driver of the vehicle? I supplied the details. And last week, a reply came back offering me, inviting me even, to have a speed awareness course. They call it an invitation. I call it state-sanctioned blackmail, because you have to pay for this course. I haven't booked it as yet. You have to do it within a 4-month period, but they say it's best to book early to get your venue, which is probably, I believe, for me would be in London. They tell me it's somewhere in Islington or Camden. Now, I always thought there was a leniency of 10% plus 2. So if it's 20 mile an hour, 10%, that's 2 mile. Plus 2, 24 mile. Well, I was a mile over that. But I am told that, and I'm informed even, that in fact there is no leniency, and drivers are getting these notices of intended prosecution for doing 21 mile an hour. That doesn't help when it is a known fact that many speedometers are inaccurate. Slightly here. Anyway, getting back to the speed awareness course, one positive is I will escape losing the points. and the hefty fine. And I have spoken, funny enough, to some of my punters in the cab about it, and they have attended these courses, and they say, actually, they're okay. One passenger even said they thoroughly enjoyed it, even though they had to take a day off work. Hopefully, I won't. I'll have to find somewhere wise to park the cab so I can get back and do a shift. And talking of speed, on the 2nd of March, about 36 or 7 roads in London revert to 20 mile an hour speed limit. I believe 19 already are 20. But that's going to be difficult, especially for night men and lady drivers. Can you imagine people saying, oh, come on, driver. Are you watching the meter go up? Why are you driving so slow? And all the sarcastic jibes that drunks come out with, making it worse as private hire fly past you. And this is all because, I believe, the authorities have come to the conclusion that cyclists can't be responsible for the behaviour. Pedestrians who cross roads with earphones in, looking at their mobile phones, also have a death wish. Not to mention the myriad of delivery vans and bikes delivering food. And I haven't even got to white van man. So there we are. Transport for London has said, hey, people are always going to be injured. People are always going to be in collision. So let's just slow it all down. At least people won't be killed. All because we live in a society where everybody is so irresponsible. Talking of being irresponsible, have I done the right thing going on ConCab? In the past, I've been on my soapbox, screaming about the apps, charging 15%, which is an absolute liberty. Yeah, I've worked out with my subscription and my charges on ComCab, it's working out at approximately 15%, if not slightly more. I mean, dialer cab was costing me £21.40 a week, but I was getting an amazing deal on the credit cards, 1.5. Whereas ComCab is £12 a week, which is great if you're not working. But the credit card machine, my God, you know, every time I use it, a little piece of me dies. Thankfully, I don't use it often because I've got PayPal. But every now and again, I have a problem with the PayPal. It doesn't connect. The Bluetooth is not quite right. And I have to revert to the machine in the cab, the PED. But my God, it's not a pleasant experience. 3.6 plus VAT plus 20 pence on every transaction. Yet, when I mention that to the customers, which is why I tell them we're going to use PayPal, I would say 9 times out of 10, they tip me. Talking of tips, I did a job about 3 or 4 weeks ago and the fare was £14.60. Took him from London Bridge Station to somewhere in Rotherhithe. Oh yeah, where the downtown club used to be. And somehow on the machine, I'd put £41.60. He didn't say nothing. He just paid. But he couldn't pay contactless. He did it as a transaction. Never said a word. So when I'm looking at my jobs later, I can't believe it. I say, that wasn't a £41 job. But thankfully, a couple of the Cab Chat team, being Dan from Plan and Ricky, our comic, resident comic, who's been quiet of late, showed me how to go onto PayPal on the laptop and give a refund of £27. And it had to be done because no way do I want to have a dispute and bring our glorious trade into disrepute. Now, getting back to ComCab, if you quite like taxi card work, they have an account with every single borough, 32 boroughs. And wherever I get a job, whether it's off the street or wherever, let's say it's in Streatham, you get offered a job on taxi card. You know, if I get a job somewhere in North London, you get offered a job. They are throwing jobs at you regards taxi card all the time. And I'm not even on the preference for taxi card, which is what they call fixed prices. But they still offer you these jobs. I personally don't like him. I did taxi cards for years on Dial a Cab, and I think in all the hundreds of people I must have carried, I only met, well, I could count on one hand the people I met that were inspiring. Everybody else, I'm sorry to say, brought me down. And also, when you get old people that don't want to pay you what they're supposed to pay you, in the end, I just used to give up because I said to myself, well, what chance have I got? This is the generation that defeated Hitler. On March the 18th, diesel and petrol vehicles are no longer allowed to traverse through Beach Street, EC2. I've noticed the signs are up, and to be honest, I'm not sure if the restrictions include hybrids like the TXE. But I have been informed that there will be a month's grace. So for the first month, so that's probably what, 18th of April, nobody shall receive a PCN. Now, regards taxes, we do have a slight exemption regards the Barbican estate. So if you get a job, let's say, to Lauderdale Towers, you are allowed to enter Beach Street and then pull in, you know, do the left into the little entrance, sit down, you will leave, you will not be ticketed. You can't apply for hire, though. So if someone runs up to you while you're coming out and says, oh, would you take me to wherever, you could get a ticket for that. And before I bid you all farewell, I'd like you to know that yesterday I saw and touched, held even, the new £20 note. As you may or may not know, it came into circulation last Thursday, February the 20th. The present £20 notes are legal tender indefinitely, and we will be given 6 months notice before they go out of circulation. The new £20 note is smaller than the existing one, slightly lighter in colour and tint, but it is ever so slightly larger than the £10 note. So beware, especially nightmen, because confusion may reign. I can see people giving the wrong note out and making mistakes because they are very, very similar size, the 10 and the 20. Therefore, it will be a case of pay attention to detail. On that note, hey, note, £10, £20. On that note, farewell. Talk to you next time. Bye, everybody.
Cab Chat, we're here just for you. We make it look professional, but we don't know what to do. Sean and Mac and Jamie, and James, they are our hits. They sit around a table and chat a load of shit. Hey!
The Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with planinsurance.co.uk/CabChat.
Well, if you follow social media in any form, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you may have noticed something called the Cockney Cabbies Guide to London. Now, this is a little project that myself, Jordan Cox and Joe Cartwright have embarked on. And it's to do a little guide to London from a London taxi driver's perspective. Because we looked around, and all of the guides to London seem to be done by foreigners, people that are effectively tourists to our great capital city. And either that, or they're what we would term as people that are not from London, people that may be English that are not from London, maybe from the UK, other parts of the UK. But it's not really anybody doing a guide to London from a real Londoner's point of view. And as we was all born and bred in London, we felt that we could give another perspective on it. So we've embarked on doing these YouTube videos as a guide to London, along with we're going to also be adding a podcast to it and the Instagram posts that we're putting up, Facebook posts, posts on Twitter, the whole sort of works as a little project and a little thing. It's something that we're enjoying doing, but it does take up a hell of a lot of time to make videos. We didn't realise how long it would actually take to make a short sort of 3 or 4 minute video. And believe me, it takes a hell of a lot of time. But we're enjoying it, and it's great fun. And something that we've always wanted to do is, you know, a bit of video and bits and pieces. And hopefully it will promote the cab trade to the wider general public and show what the London taxi trade and this great city of London has to offer them when they visit London. Now, we haven't really aimed this YouTube channel or any of this at the London taxi trade. We're aiming it at the general public coming to London and visiting London. But we need to ask you, our fellow cab drivers, a little favour. And the favour is, we need to gain as many subscribers on YouTube as possible to give it a wider appeal to the general public around the world. So the little favour we need to ask is, if you could go to YouTube, look up the Cockney Cabbies. It's quite easy to find. Go youtube.com/Cockney Cabbies and just subscribe to our YouTube channel. It'll give you a little notification whenever we produce a new video or put something out, and it will help us to get this out to the wider general public around the rest of the world, which would be absolutely fantastic for us. It will give us a little thing, little bit back for producing these videos. Not a lot, to be honest with you, but it might give us a little bit of money back if we can monetize the videos and get a little bit of money coming in to pay for equipment and our time doing these videos, because it does take up a hell of a lot of time. And we'd really, really appreciate if you could go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to the YouTube channel, which will give us that wider appeal to the general public, which means it will show up in more YouTube searches and things like that, and it'll get us up there and people will be able to see our videos and subscribe to them. But we need more subscribers to attract. It's a vicious circle to a certain extent, where you need more subscribers to attract even more subscribers, if you know what I mean. And if you could do that for us, the three of us would really, really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. So thank you very much. And we've got a new video that should be coming out early part of next week. It's all about a taxi rank phone with a little bit of a twist on it, a little bit of a twist that we've put on the end of it, which is and not a lot of people know about this little twist. So it's got a little surprise on it. And it was quite fun making it, actually. And some of the people we met along the way when we was making it as well, in the locations where we filmed it. So watch out for that one. It will be good fun, good fun watch. So watch out for that. And if you go to the YouTube channel and subscribe, youtube.com/Cockney Cabbies, then you'll get notified when that video is released. You can also visit our website, which is cockneycabbies.com. And it's under construction at the moment. There are some bits on there, but it's not fully developed yet. It will be a continual work in progress, the website, as will all of this as well. But we've undertaken to do it, and we know it's going to take up a lot of our time. But we're prepared to put the time in to get this off the ground and to promote London from a London taxi driver's perspective.
Here at Cab Chat, we wanted to start a flash mob. But unfortunately, Mac the Cab took the word flash differently than we intended. What a cult.
Change your knickers for useful advice to help you through the day.
So Something that Mark Turner, Drumslayer, said in a previous show was quite thought-provoking, really, when he was talking about going and getting checked for prostate cancer. And it got me to thinking that most drivers don't really think about it, and driving for a living, you're probably more prone to prostate cancer than somebody that doesn't sit down in the same position all day and sit in the driver's seat all day and driving. So it got me to thinking that maybe every driver should really go and get a regular checkup with regards to prostate, because I don't think I've had one, and I'm going to definitely seek to get one done, get a prostate check done, well, blood test done anyway, and it gives you your levels as to what they should be. So I would urge every single driver to go and get himself checked, especially if you're over the age of 45 or 40 or whatever. Well, I don't quite know what the age is that they recommend that you go and get yourself checked, but I think every single driver should go and get themselves checked for their prostate to see whether their prostate levels are rising. And if they are, and as you know, if you, it's not something to really, really panic about. Obviously, it's not nice, but if you catch it early, apparently, then it can be cured quite easily rather than leaving it to go on and on and on. And then it becomes more of a problem. Some road information to remember. Coming up on the 18th of March, the Beach Street Tunnel will be electric vehicles only from that date. So if you drive a diesel vehicle or a petrol vehicle, then you will not be allowed to drive through the Beach Street Tunnel. So keep your eye out for that. Apparently, during the first month, there will be a bit of an amnesty where you'll just be sent a letter saying that you've contravened a no diesel vehicles or a ZEC only road, which only allows electric vehicles to pass through. After that date, after the 18th of April, if you drive through the Beach Street Tunnel, you will be fined unless you are driving a zero emissions capable vehicle. So keep that one in mind. You're okay up until the 18th of March, but after the 18th of March, it will become an offence to drive through there. Although for 1 month, you probably won't be fined for it unless you are a repeat offender, because I know that if you get the letter once, then, you know, you do it again, then you probably will be fined on the second occasion. Transport for London have sent out their latest notice to taxi and private hire drivers. One of the things they've put on there is Paddington and Edgware Road is an ongoing issue, and it says, please be aware that PCNs are being issued at Paddington Edgware Road at the junction with Harrow Road, where drivers are overranking and blocking the pedestrian crossing. This location has already been identified under the Safer Junctions programme for improvements, and further works will start later this year. Also, from the 16th of March, there will be the roadworks starting on London Bridge to re-weatherproof the concrete base of the bridge. This will necessitate closing the road in one direction and in the other direction, and one lane each way. The only vehicles permitted to cross the bridge will be buses, cycles and London taxis. No other vehicles will be permitted to cross the bridge, so taxi drivers will still be allowed to cross London Bridge in both directions whilst the works are undergoing. There will probably be some disruption to this during the changeover from one way to another, or from one side to the other of the road, and so expect delays when trying to cross or traverse London Bridge. Also, Oxford Street will have various road closures in both directions between Marble Arch and Tottenham Court Road from 2200 until 0600 every Sunday and Monday night until December 2020. Or on Sunday nights, Oxford Street will be closed between Oxford Circus and Tottenham Court Road. On Monday nights, Oxford Street will be closed between Oxford Circus and Marble Arch. This is due to Westminster Council works. Transport for London have also offered some advice on the coronavirus. It says, we recognise that licensees may have concerns regarding the possible implications of the outbreak of coronavirus. We have published some advice in TPH Notice 0220. We encourage all licensees to regularly check the government and NHS websites for up-to-date information. And I'm going to read out to you what it says in their advice for taxi and private hire drivers. It says, HM Government and NHS Public Information provides useful advice on how to slow the spread of the virus. This is largely the same advice to slow the spread of other germs, including flu, general coughs and colds. The advice is always carry tissues and use them to catch coughs and sneezes. Dispose of used tissues in a bin as soon as possible. Wash hands with soap and water or use sanitizer gel to kill germs. That's if you can find any in the shops, because they're charging absolutely exorbitant amount of money for a sanitizer gel. We advise all licensees, including taxi and private hire drivers, to follow these simple and sensible steps at all times, and particularly in the wake of the outbreak of coronavirus. We would also encourage licensees to take sensible and routine precautionary measures, such as cleaning surfaces regularly with sanitising wipes or spray to get rid of germs. As ever, taxi drivers should consider regularly cleaning card payment devices. Licensees who share a taxi or private hire vehicle should consider regularly cleaning the steering wheel and instruments. Public Health England is the lead agency in providing regularly updated information for the public on the outbreak of coronavirus COVID-19 in China, including the current situation in the UK and information about the virus and its symptoms. You can access the most up-to-date information on their website. If you're worried about the coronavirus, have a cough, temperature or shortness of breath and have been in physical contact with someone from an affected area, then NHS advises you to stay indoors and avoid contact with other people as you would with the flu. Call NHS 111. We would expect all private hire operators to fully cooperate with any inquiries they may receive from Public Health England and any other relevant agencies. Whilst the above advice is current at the time of writing, please regularly check the Public Health England website and government NHS websites for updated information. Now, we all know that the coronavirus is making people not go out at the moment, and which is having an effect on the taxi trade, and on the global economy as a whole, because apparently people are not going anywhere. Did hear a rumour the other day that one of the tour bus companies is laying off all of its drivers because nobody is visiting the capital and they're not going on the tour buses. Now, this could have one or two effects on the cab trade. It could mean that there is a slowdown in work and that we find it quite tough over the next coming weeks or even months, because we don't know how long this virus is going to take hold of people's emotions and make them stay away, or whether people will refrain from using public transport in preference to using taxis. We really don't know how this is going to affect us, and only time will tell. I mean, we've noticed over the last week or so that it really has had an effect on our business, and especially at the airport, where the number of flights that have been cancelled has been quite considerable. You can see the number of people coming out of the terminals is significantly down. All I can say is that as a taxi driver, you really just got to tough it out. I mean, I've been through a couple of recessions as a cab driver, and it's not nice when you're going out there and basically only just about keeping your head above water, just paying the bills, and there's nothing left for anything else, and maybe even running up some debts, and it's not a good situation to be in. And there's no help there for taxi drivers during situations like this. You really have just got to tough it out. And it's going to mean doing longer hours and more time in the cab, more time away from the family, which is never good at a time when most people are staying indoors. And one thing that I found quite ironic is that a lot of these younger, what I call hipster types, seem to be staying away from London at the moment, but they're sitting at home and ordering their food on things like Uber Eats and Deliveroo, where some nice little fella delivers it to you who probably is not from this country or maybe not from this country and may have come from a country that could have been infected. So you're putting yourself at risk anyway if you're one of those types. Anyway, we're going to have another song. Here's one from the Beach Boys, because hopefully winter will be over soon and this horrible weather that we're having at the moment will go away and leave us with some nice sunshine. So here's one from the Beach Boys. It's called Breakaway. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for this week. As always, I'd like to say thank you very, very much for listening, downloading this podcast, and taking the time to listen to us ramble on throughout the show. Cab Chat is sponsored by Plan Insurance, brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can find at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat. Or you can give them a call on 0800 542 2743. That's 0800 542 2743. And don't forget, if you do give them a call, please don't forget to mention that you heard about them on CabChat, because you will get a discount of at least £25 off of your premium. And that applies to any taxi insurance policy or any commercial policy, whether you've got friends or relatives that have got a business. Then please tell them to give Plan Insurance a call, get a quote off them. And don't forget to mention CabChat and you'll get a £25 minimum discount off of your premium. The sponsorship, the money from from Plan Insurance helps us to carry on producing this show, pay all the bills, which are quite considerable actually, and keep bringing you a show every week. I mean, at the moment we're bringing you two a week, and that's going to continue for the foreseeable future. And if you do want to get involved with CabChat, if you want to get your voice heard, please, please, please get in touch with us. We like to hear everybody's views, whether you've got a view that's the same as ours, or whether you've got a differing opinion to those of us at CabChat here. Please get in touch. We'd love to hear your opinions. If you want to air your voice, get in touch with us. There's various ways you can get in touch with us. Just go to our website, cabchat.london, and all of our links are on the website, our Twitter account, our Facebook page, our Instagram. It's all CabChat, CabChat UK. And if you want to get in touch, we'd be more than appreciate you coming on the show or doing a little bit. It's quite easy to record a little piece and send it into us. Just use your voice, your memo app on your voice, on your phone, and use your voice to record and then email it over to us. You can just email it to admin@cabchatshow.uk, or you can go to the website and just leave a voice message on the website, which is really, really easy. There's a facility on the website where you can leave a message. We'll play it out on the show. So please do get in touch. Until the next show, thanks very much for listening, and thanks to Plan Insurance for continuing to support CabChat. If you're out there working, I know it's a little bit tough at the moment with this coronavirus thing going on, but please stay lucky. Please be lucky. Keep those doors locked. Be safe. Earn well. And most of all, have fun. Until next time, bye-bye.
That's another show over and done with from the team that have great faces for radio. If you could see them, you'd know what I mean. So until next week, be lucky.